Now, for the first time since the US drone war began, an official says unmanned aerial vehicles have killed 4,700 people so far. This revelation of supposedly secret information has raised questions as to how honest the Obama administration has been about what rights groups call America's extrajudicial killings inside and beyond the country's borders. This is The Debate.
A drone buzzing skyward from a U.S. base for an unknown mission.
Command SP-180.
The unmanned aerial vehicles, originally intended for peaceful uses, have turned into a lethal weapon at Washington's hands to pursue its agenda against other nations. The pilotless aircraft have been widely used against targets in Muslim nations, particularly Afghanistan and Pakistan, as well as Yemen. An American senator is admitting that the planes have killed nearly 5,000 people in those countries. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has defended the use of drones, saying Washington is at war and the drones have taken out some targets. Graham says,
"It's a weapon that needs to be used. It's a tactical weapon. A drone is an unmanned aerial vehicle that is now armed."
The U.S. has particularly expanded its use of the unmanned aerial vehicles since 2009, when President Barack Obama took office. Washington claims the drones target militants, but large numbers of the victims have turned out to be civilians. The U.S. airstrikes have sparked widespread outrage across Muslim nations that have fallen victim to the robotic aircraft. Pakistan, for instance, has been the scene of numerous mass protests against the air attacks.
"These ongoing drone attacks are blatant aggression, intrusion into our country, and violation of our sovereignty."
"This drone attacks will continue unabated. And the present chief of the CIA actually has also said that it will not stop. It has become the policy of the United States actually to use drone not only in Pakistan but in Yemen and Somalia."
Islamabad has time and again spoken out against Washington over the strikes, saying they violate Pakistan's sovereignty.
What we're seeing really is extrajudicial execution of people without any due process, without even having people are, you know, the allegations are actually ludicrous that they may be appear to be a threat to the United States. They are simply people that are being killed because some particular person wants them killed, but there's no legal justification for it. And as far as I'm concerned, it is a war crime.
In 2010, the UN held a meeting on the U.S. drone attacks. The world body condemned Washington's use of drones for targeted killings, calling it a violation of international law.
"The United States is the dominant user of drones to kill."
Well, this is The Debate, and I'm just now going to introduce our guests who will, of course, discuss the issue of the U.S. drone warfare. In Islamabad, Mr. Navid Ahmad, security and diplomacy analyst. In London, George Lambrakis, former U.S. diplomat. And in Los Angeles, Mr. Mike Preisner, an Iraq war veteran. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on this edition of The Debate. My first question to our guest in Islamabad, Mr. Navid Ahmad. Now, most important news that we've been hearing on this is a U.S. senator saying that an estimated 4,700 people, including civilians, have been killed in America's secretive drone war. And this is the first official announcement on the death toll. And it has raised questions about how honest the administration in America has been. What do you think about this announcement?
Well, this announcement is something that is a slip of tongue. It's against, I think, the secrecy law that all the parliamentarians or MPs in the U.S. have to abide by. But definitely this serves the interest of many people who are watching and observing drones. Estimates are much lesser than that. So this is something that is of quite value. And now Washington and Pentagon both are in a position, not in a position to defend it, and they would have to come up with a figure. They are so far mum, but they won't remain so. Definitely on the other side, this is going to increase the reaction and anger within the countries that are being violated as a result of excessive use of drones.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to our guest now in London, Mr. George Lambrakis, on this. Now, The White House had claimed, Mr. Lambrakis, due to the precision of these drone strikes, there have been only a handful of civilian casualties. And the question then was, how many civilian deaths has been recorded and in what countries? The Bureau of Investigative Journalism estimated that as many as 891 civilians, 176 children, had been killed in Pakistan alone. So do you think that this revelation right now shows that the administration has not been honest about these figures?
Well, I think when you speak about killing, it's very unpleasant. And it's unfortunate that we've been in a war for about 10 years now, since 2001, when you remember that 3,000 civilians were specifically targeted, as well as civilians in London. Quite a few of them were killed in another attack. People have tried to blow up planes regularly until they were stopped. People have been carrying out attacks in many countries against Americans, against others. If there is going to be an asymmetrical jihad against Americans and others, you have to sort of reply with whatever you can do that, by the way,
yeah,
drones probably kill fewer people than heavy bombers or missiles or other ways of going after people. They're more selective.
Yeah.
Yes, they do kill a few civilians because the people that they are going after usually are hiding in a country like Pakistan. They
well,
are the ones who send
there,
the killers away.
Okay, we do have the argument by the Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, and he's basically saying the same thing. I'll put this question to Mr. Prisoner in Los Angeles. Lindsey Graham was saying, sometimes you hit innocent people, and I hate that, but we're at war, and we've taken out some very senior members of Al-Qaeda. How do you see that explanation?
Well, you know, the Pentagon has also admitted that only 2% of the targets that they hit or the people that they kill are these so-called high-level operatives that, in the command structure that they're trying to take out, meaning that 98% of the people who are killed by drones are people who should not be killed by drones. If you even think that those 2% deserve to be killed, if you could make that argument. We're talking about the vast majority, 98% of fail rate for these drones. It's very easy for our other guests to be talking about the effectiveness of this tactic from his plush office in London, not having to live the daily reality of terror underneath these drones. People aren't hiding out in Pakistan. People being bombed are people who live and who were born and grew up in refugee camps and in these poor villages in Pakistan who are under a relentless assault. And so Senator Graham and our other guest and President Obama has said that this is because we are at war.
Yeah.
But they also admit that we are not bombing Al-Qaeda in these countries, that the 9/11 hijackers were from Saudi Arabia, you know, the staunchest ally of the United States, you know, with flagrant human rights violations. The people that are being killed in Afghanistan and in Pakistan by drones has nothing to do with a terrorist organization that attacked us on 9/11. It's about a failed war in Afghanistan. They are taking out people who are resisting, who oppose the U.S.-NATO occupation of Afghanistan. And because they have completely failed on every level and in every tactic they have tried to pacify Afghanistan,
yeah,
now they realize that they have lost the war on the battlefield. They must withdraw from the country defeated.
Okay.
And the banking and corporate interests are very concerned about
right,
losing Price, that
if
hold.
I could stop
and so
you
now
there,
they're
if
embarking
I may.
On this strategy of
one
just killing
point,
as many as possible.
One point, of course, that was raised here, I'd like to go to Mr. Ahmad on this, is that the Obama administration is saying, as well as lawmakers, that we are in a state of war, and that's why these drone strikes can be justified. Well, the question is the United States at war with Yemen, with Somalia, and also with Pakistan? What do you think?
Well, this is a very basic question that needs to be answered. And even if there is a kind of a tacit understanding with the regimes there, we need to find out under which part of international law this whole exercise is taking place. The gentleman in London was saying that we have taken out some credible and important leaders of Al-Qaeda or whatever they may like to call it or brand it, but which international law allows them there to act and violate the sovereignty of a country And without due process of law, without legal hearings, are we living in an uncivilized world? The United States wants to act like one. The second important issue is, what about those people who are being killed and are innocent? We cannot just count them as numbers. They are not a few hundred or a few thousand people. Even a single individual who is killed, who is innocent, is killed in such an action, which is illegal, which is illegitimate, that has to be accounted for. And there is a due process of law under international norms, and that should be followed. Would the same gentleman in London accept it for those killings that have been not, or those individuals who have been killed who were not involved in any kind of activities with so-called criminals that they classify? I'd raise another point here, and that is, what about Afghanistan? He mentions only Pakistan. Is Afghanistan purely cleared, and it has been taken out all the terrorists from Afghanistan? There are no homegrown terrorists within United States. Why don't you use drones there? And there are other places in the world which are allied to United States. That's not the case.
Well, let's go to Mr. Labrakis on this, Mr. Ahmad, if we may. Now, Mr. Labrakis, one question, of course, here is the legality. According to international law, how can the U.S. justify this according to the laws, for instance, of the United Nations, who has said that it is not legal?
Yes. Well, the argument of legality, I think we have talked about before. There are many aspects to legality internationally. There is the right to pursue people who are attacking you by crossing the border. That sometimes has to be done in the old
what
days.
What is the clause? Can you specifically mention it?
Okay,
mention under what clause you are talking about. Which Geneva Convention allows it?
I am talking about...
Under which part of international law?
If your Pakistan gentleman would... stop shouting, I will try to answer the question, which is that asymmetrical as it is, first of all, every government has the responsibility under international law to keep its citizens from going out and attacking other countries. If countries cannot do that, the country that is attacked or believes it's about to be attacked has the right to attack or to take care of the situation if the host government is saying that it has no responsibility for these attacks.
Okay, Mr. Labrakis, I'm really sorry for jumping in here, but one point, I'd just like to put this question to yourself. One point that's raised here about these specific drone strikes is how, basically, the U.S. government is responding. We have, without any due process, without transparency, without the oversight, for instance, by courts or Congress, a lot of people are saying there is no way to know who is.
All right.
Excuse me, just listen to this question. There's no way, if I may. They're saying that there's no way to differentiate between, for instance, a senior Al-Qaeda member and someone else when we do target people based on every male of military age is a target and it could be targeted as a militant.
Well, people who are targeting are trying to get the right people. As I've tried to say earlier, these are people frequently who are hiding in a country and sending others to fight. This is a war. Extrajudicial doesn't mean anything in a war. We're not talking about picking up criminals, bringing them before a judge and a jury, and then going from there. You're talking about warfare. Mm-hmm. You're talking about asymmetrical warfare. You're talking about terrorist operations. You can't talk about bringing people, charging them, bringing proof the way you might bring somebody who's a burglar in your house. You're talking about completely different things. I don't understand why this extrajudicial element is involved here to begin with. Okay. You're not talking about judicial things except the rules of war. And I thought I mentioned some of them. The rules of war are quite complicated. Borders don't necessarily mean that nobody can ever cross them. Or in this modern age,
Mr. Labrakis, I'm
where
sorry,
the crossing
just...
can be done by cyber warfare or other ways, there are many other ways to carry out war.
Okay, we are a little bit short of time. Thank you for that. But before I continue the discussion with our other guests, let's just first take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page, and we'll be back.
On Press TV's Facebook page, this question has been posted. How can the U.S. justify these targeted killings while there are so many innocent victims? What is the position in international law regarding these killings? Many people have commented. Let's take a look at some of them. Omar Hodeifa, with 9/11 proven to have been an inside dirty job, the subsequent war on terror is just a pretext of fighting Islam, which is truly the fastest growing religion in the world. Abdullah Aziz, Americans have always tested their weapons in Islamic nations. Asif Hussein, please tell me where international law had taken action against the US.
Some of the comments there posted by our viewers on our Facebook page. Now, I'll put some of those responses to context here in our question to our guest in Los Angeles, Mr. Priesner. And that is why one of the comments was saying we haven't seen any action being taken, for instance, when it comes to international law. If it is against it, why are we not seeing any action against the U.S.?
Well, that's because international law really doesn't matter when you're talking about the biggest empire ever in the history of humanity, the U.S. empire. So the U.S. military and the U.S. government can act with impunity around the world, and we've seen that as it occupies and bombs and sanctions and threatens and carries out assassinations, not just in Afghanistan and Pakistan, but in over 100 countries all around the world. And, you know, we need to really counter our other guest in London and say that the people being killed by drone strikes, not the 98% who are women and children and elderly and civilians, but even those so-called militants who are killed, those people do not have no interest in attacking U.S. soil, admittedly so. What they are against is the U.S.-NATO occupation of Afghanistan, which, you know what? Most people in the United States are also against the U.S.-NATO occupation of Afghanistan. And so, you know, I'd actually like to pose a question to our guest in London, and that is, what if this collateral damage was American children? What if the U.S. government said, hey, we had to use a drone strike to take out this suspected terrorist because we thought that he might be a threat to American lives, but in the process, we bombed a school that killed 30 children in California. That would be unacceptable to the U.S. public. But we're told that children who are killed in Pakistan for the same exact policy, we shouldn't care about it because the people there look different. They speak a different language. They have a different religion. They have a different culture and customs.
Well, as we're running out of time, maybe I can
somehow less
answer.
Valuable, that they're expendable. Okay. And that's saying that this policy is based on racism, and our guest in London is racist for supporting this policy.
Okay, well, before we go to Islamabad, let's give our guest in London time to respond to that. Well, the question is here, Ms. Lambrakis, is a lot of people are saying when it comes to, for instance, Awlaki, who was assassinated, there is a lot of more concern among the American public, but it looks like they don't have that concern, or rather, among the lawmakers, about people who are outside the country's borders, as if that wouldn't matter if civilians there are killed. What's your response?
Well, I can understand that people might be against where we have been in the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan. These have not been the best wars in the world. I will remind my American colleague, who apparently is an Iraq veteran, that
we're not colleagues.
If the war had been carried out the way it was, for example, in Vietnam, by other means than drones, you would have been killing a lot more civilians. War kills civilians, whatever weapons you use. Drones probably are more targeted than any other means the Americans can use at this point. Mm-hmm. And that's one reason they're being used. It's a separate argument where we are in the war in Afghanistan, where we are in the war in Iraq or anywhere else.
Okay.
And I'm not necessarily arguing that situation at all.
Okay.
I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, but I think that both Republican and Democratic administrations in the United States have been drawn into wars, whatever way you want to interpret that.
Right.
And when you are getting to the end of a war, you're going to be killing people. And among the people killed will be civilians. War is hell. So everybody knows that.
Okay, let's go to Islamabad, Mr. Naveed Ahmad. When we are speaking about these drone strikes, how the Obama administration talks about them, it says that one point here is that the technology of drones is less expensive and it's more precise. And what will we do if we have to fight this terrorism against us? What's your response to these questions?
Well, there are a couple of responses to what has been said. One, this man who's in London is saying that he's neither Republican nor from the Democratic Party, but he's American, and he sees everything coming from Pentagon as very sacred. The question here is, are you with war in Pakistan? Are you fighting against Pakistan, or is Pakistan your ally? Is Pakistani military giving more sacrifices than the American troops in Afghanistan? How many of your generals have actually died, and how many of your installations have been attacked? You cannot find the numbers, and if there are numbers, there are just 2,000 Americans who have died in Afghanistan, while Pakistan has lost about 7,000 policemen and military men in this war, which we don't declare a war in a peacetime conflict. Number two. Secondly, where do you come? How do you decide to come inside a country which is intelligence sharing with you? You decide to kill people, and then someone from your own country tells me that 4,700 have been killed. Someone else, or maybe WikiLeaks, which you don't like, by the way, may release the list of the people, and we might not find even 1% of those alleged Taliban, Al-Qaeda affiliates. Where would you go, and where would your argument be of sophistication, precision, and being the weapon being smart? This is what you are saying, that the weapon is smart, it's sophisticated, it's precise. But we have seen terrible intelligence failures on the part of United States. And there would be many ahead as well. Be transparent about those you kill. Show us their identities. We should have their pictures taken, and they should be displayed in newspapers. Pakistani newspapers and Pakistani media had been sleeping with the devil, and they had not really done their job right. And this is what United States' interest is served.
Right, and we've just
I
got
can
under...
understand.
Yeah, okay. I'm afraid, Mr. Brackish, we've run out of time because I've just got...
It's just all emotion.
Okay.
This is an argument you need to understand. What you cannot rule
can
out every comment
emotion.
That the other person makes, that this is not emotion. I have raised certain questions. If you are such a sophisticated power, give out
parts
the names.
Of Pakistan,
the people you kill.
There are parts of
Pakistan
that one cannot
reach.
Are
you fighting against Pakistan?
Your government cannot reach. Your government does not control.
The government can reach. You are violating the terms of engagement that you have agreed with Pakistan. And that is why whenever the government, today even, your congressmen were in Islamabad meeting President Zardari, and he categorically said that we are against the strikes. And this is on record. And if you kindly Google, you will find it. And what I'm saying are not emotions. You are sitting in some plush office, as someone else said, and you don't feel what's happening in the places other than United States. You are being hated. United States is isolated. And despite the fact that so many Pakistanis like the American people, your government is never like
them.
Americans have been killed
you.
In many places.
Okay, I'm afraid I've got to stop you because we've run out of time. I'd like to thank our guests with us in Islamabad, Mr. Naveed Ahmad, security and diplomacy analyst. In London, Mr. George Lambrakis, former U.S. diplomat. And in Los Angeles, Mike Preisner, an Iraq war veteran. Thank you very much for being with us on this edition of The Debate. From Ihoma Lesgi, until our next program, goodbye and thank you for watching.